This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Then, so this is his westward journey. Now he decides to travel eastward. So this is the next thing. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ وَجَدَهَا تَطْلُعُ عَلَى قَوْمٍ لَمْ نَجْعَلْ عَلَى قَوْمٍ لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا كَذَلِكَ وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. So then he traveled and he followed a different way. Now he's going a course towards the east until حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ, where he came to where the sun used to rise. So now he's come to the east. And what did he find? وَوَجَدَهَا تَطْلُعَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا. He found a people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not provided any protection or shelter from the sun. There was no sitr between them. Sitr means something that covers a barrier between them and the sun. So just imagine if he comes to a desert and it's hot and sandy and the sun comes out and there is no protection. So the scholars have said that what this means is one of two things. Either they did not have houses or way of protecting. And there's another, that they were so primitive, aboriginal type of people, that they had no clothes, because clothes is considered a satr, also protection from the sun. So they were like that. And it could be either, or it could be both. And then some of the books of the Jews have talked about something like that, that they lived in a place where the ground was such that they couldn't support the buildings, they would sink. So they had no protection, and then there are details which come mostly from the Israeliyat. So obviously it's there, that these people used to live in tunnels. They had dug because there was no shade, and they used to only come out at night and things like that. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving us any of those details, essentially telling us he traveled here, he traveled here, he found people here, he found people here. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. And like that, and so it was, and indeed, أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا, that we encompassed all the news about ذُلْقَرْنَيْن. Means Allah was aware of every expedition, everything that he was doing, his journeys, where he reached, who he found, what he did with them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, indeed, we knew all about Dhulqarnain. We had full knowledge of everything about him. Everything about him encompasses what? The external, what he did, his power, how he ruled, all of that. Everything internal, his knowledge, his niyyah, his own, you know, his psyche. Everything about the tools that he had at his strength, how he made judgments, how he made, you know, all of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he had full knowledge of him. Now the question is, why is he specified? Does Allah have full knowledge of me? And of everyone? And of everyone? Not in this room and everywhere else. Allah has full knowledge of everything. So, but he has mentioned this here. Specifying him. So, and this is just my reflection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving us too many details about Dhulqarnain for the people who are asking. But he just says, I know everything about him. I don't have to mention it to you. You know, to the Quraysh and the Jews that were asking. And I'm just giving you a few things to tell you that, yes, he is a true prophet. He knows, and you know this. So just a few highlights. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I know everything, but we don't have to mention everything. So, two journeys. Now comes the third journey, the most interesting one. which is a journey northward. So now just imagine in that big mass from somewhere in the Mediterranean all the way to whether it's China or wherever. Now you're going up. You're going through those mountains of Turkey and all of those, Russia, that part that goes through that, you know, Georgia and all of those areas, going northwards. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ السَّبَبَ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ الصَّدَّيْنِ وَجَدَ مِنْ دُونِهِمَا قَوْمًا قَوْمًا لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا قَالُوا يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ إِنَّ يَأْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ مُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَأَلْ نَجْعَلُ لَكَ خَرْجًا عَلَىٰ أَنْ تَجْعَلَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ سَدًّا قَالَ مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٌ فَعِينُونِي بِقُوَّةٍ أَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا آتُونِي زُبَرَ الْحَدِيدِ حتى إذا ساوى بين الصدفين قال انفخوا حتى إذا جعله نارا قال آتوني أفرغ عليه قطرا فما استطاعوا أن يظهروه وما استطاعوا له نقبا قال هذا رحمة من ربي فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّاءَ وَكَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي حَقًّا وَتَرَكْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَمُوجُ فِي بَعْضٍ وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَجَمَعْنَاهُمْ جَمْعًا. So this takes us to ayah number 99. So then he traveled and he followed a different way, which we said is north, until he reached a mountain pass between two mountains or between two, Baina Saddain. Saddain is like barriers or mountains, between two mountains. And he found, Wajada Indaha Qawma, he found another people living there. What is about these people? They, Yafqahuna Qawla, they did not understand his language. So obviously they were very isolated. Did they not understand any of the known languages? We don't know. But obviously, it says that they scarcely understood a word of his language. So that means there were some communication issues. Now, this is the only character that Allah describes of this people first. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they said, Ya Dhal Qarnain. So somehow they managed to communicate, whether it was through an interpreter or this was one of the asbab that was given to him that he could understand different people's language. In other words, this was a miracle that they could not communicate with his army, but he could understand what they were saying. So they said, O Dhul Qarnain, indeed Ya'juj and Ma'juj are doing great fasad, great mischief, and they're spreading corruption in the land. What does that mean? That they were interacting, that Ya'juj Ma'juj were present, and they were interacting with this tribe. This was in the forefront of humanity of the time against Ya'juj Ma'juj, and they were having a rough time. Whenever Ya'juj Ma'juj came, they would just destroy and do all kinds of things. So they said, looking at his power and his might and his justice, they said, shall we pay you a tribute? Should we give you, we'll collect money or whatever it is, produce, in order that you might, because you have the means, erect a barrier between us, between Ya'juj Ma'juj and us to protect. Okay. So they offer him essentially a reward or a tribute, because you can't reward the king. Now what did he say? His response to that was, that the wealth, the authority, what Allah has given me, the resources, what Allah has established me, are far better than anything you can offer me. Okay. So he refuses to take it. But he said, I will build it for you, but you need to help me, so you help me with manpower. I need manpower to build this. So he said, I will erect between you and Ya'juj Ma'juj, Radma, they asked for a sad, which is a barrier. Aradma means a fortified barrier, something not like an ordinary barrier. So what they ask, he wants to give them more than that. Okay, just remember that, of righteous people. What the people want, they give more than that. They want to pay, he said, no, what Allah has given me is better. And of course, that also means that he knows the reward of that, of doing that, would be much greater than any money that they could pay him. So then, using the technology that he had been given, he said, bring me blocks of iron. Blocks of pieces of iron. And then all the manpower of these tribes, they came and they kept piling this, till the ayah says, till they filled the gap between these two mountains, and maybe there was an opening in the mountain, and they filled the whole thing up. Now that's a lot of iron. You know, just imagine, they are just not little small hills, because Yajuj, Majuj would have over. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he filled the gap between two mountain cliffs. How long it took has not been mentioned. Then he said, blow, anfiqu. What does blow means? Bring your bellows and light the fire and heat this. Now he wants to make this red hot, so the iron sort of fuses. And then when it becomes as hot as a red fire, he says, now bring me molten copper. In other words, they had technology of enough heat that they could melt copper. And he said, and I bring me the molten copper so that I can pour it over the iron barrier that has been created. Why did he have to put molten copper on top of it? I was just thinking about
it.
But heating would have fused it. What happens when iron, and this is just aside, I'm not saying this was the reason. What happens when you leave iron out in the weather? It rusts, and ultimately, what happens to copper? Nothing. So he made this barrier and he put copper on it, that with centuries and centuries, nothing will happen to this barrier. So now this barrier has been made, and just think, it's easier to think, I mean, because somebody might say, well, if the barrier is here, maybe Yajuj Majuj can go take a long route. But in some way, they were imprisoned or encapsulated in whatever, wherever those mountains that they lived in. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so they, Yajuj Majuj, were made powerless, that they didn't have the power to scale, to climb over it, nor to penetrate or dig through it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَسْتَعُوا أَنْ يَظْهَرُوهُ, and they did not have the ability. أَسْتَعُوا أَنْ يَظْهَرُوهُ means to go over it. وَمَسْتَطَعُوا لَهُ نَقْبًا. أَسْتَعُوا أَسْتَطَعُوا, it's exactly the same meaning, capacity, ability. One is أَسْتَعُوا and one is أَسْتَطَعُوا. There is an extra ta. And we said in the Arabic language, when you add any alphabets to a verb, it makes it a more vigorous verb. It requires more effort. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word astau for climbing over and astata'u for digging through that. Because what is easier, just to climb over or to cut through? And that's much harder. So that's a subtle thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us through, instead of using the same word with the same meaning. Naqaba. Now he's got this great, the job is done. It's a great job he has done. So what does he do? Does he put his flag up there and said, I am number one, see what I have done? What is the response of Dhul Qarnayn? Qala hadha rahmatum mir. All of this, what you see, this achievement, this is nothing but the mercy of my Rabb. He does not take any credit for it. And this is the definition of a true abd. When we talk about what is ubudiyah, what is abd, which translate as slavehood or, you know, being subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abd means, the scholars have said, the person who fulfills all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of his rights, not only full, but in the best way, with ihsan and with veneration, glorifying Allah, not just, you know, as a duty, you know, I don't like it, but I'm doing it, to venerate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, he always feels that he has not done enough in quantity and quality. Whatever I do, whether it's my salah, whether it's my charity, whatever I've done, building this barrier, I haven't done as good as it should have been. He always feels inadequacy. And last thing, if he achieves something, he never takes credit for it, but attributes it to the decree of Allah, that this is what Allah decreed for me to achieve. So this is what Dhulqarnain did. And this is a lesson for us, that we frequently, you know, I got straight A's in my school, or I did this great business, or I did this. Anything good we do in the worldly or in dini matters always should be attributed to fadl and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from Allah's decree, because only Allah enables us to do whatever we can. Then he says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى. And when the promise of Allah, the wada of Allah comes true, this barrier, how strong it looks, جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى, it will be leveled. وَكَانَ وَعَدُ رَبِّي حَقَّى. And indeed, the promise of Allah is true. So he knew that a time would come when this barrier will be broken, will be breached. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَكْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ. And then from that, because Yajuj, Majuj, which is what we are going to talk about next, are one of the major signs of the coming of Day of Judgment, one of the 10 major signs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَكْنَا, and we will leave them, the Yajuj, Majuj, بَعْضَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَمُوجُ فِي بَعْضٍ. They will come like waves upon, like mauj, waves upon waves. وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, and then the trumpet, the horn, the sur for the Day of Judgment will be blown. وَجَمَعْنَاهُمْ جَمْعًا, and then we will gather all people. So this is right from the story of Yajuj, Majuj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes directly into the Day of Judgment, because it's the end of times.